Hello, everybody, and welcome to eTech Muddy Boots, where we don't just talk about it, we stomp right through it. I'm your host, Melissa, and this is the show that gets down and dirty with everyday leaders who are making real change happen. We're not afraid to get our boots muddy because that's where the real stories are. So lace up, slip them on, step out, and join us as we trudge through the trenches of trust building and action taking, real action taking. If you are tired of all the talk and no walk, you're in the right spot. So let's get your boots ready. Let's lace up. Let's get muddy. Hello, welcome back to eTech Muddy Boots. We are excited to bring in two of my most favorite women in all times. You can't see right now, but both of them are wearing boots. I would just think so. I would think Dr. Chimney probably has on purple boots. Nancy looks like somebody she might have on some bright red boots, I'm thinking today. She's a little sassy, but I'd like to welcome, we're going to link their bio, but welcome to today's podcast, Dr. Veronica Chimney and Nancy Pratt, both from our human resources at eTech. Do not get off this podcast because I said human resources. We have a different perspective today. Here is our topic. We're going to be talking about agent burnout, and who better to see the other side of agent burnout than the people who deal with the most important resource in any company. That's the human capital. So welcome, Dr. Chimney and Nancy Pratt.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you guys are here. So let's just push through some of these questions that everybody's wanting me to ask, right? And I know that you have some great wisdom behind it. So I'm going to push through some of these questions. But before I start the question, when I think about burnout, have you ladies ever heard of a town in Arkansas called Bentonville, Arkansas?
Yeah.
You heard of Bentonville? Oh, okay. And I know podcasters are like, Melissa, what are you stomping through in the mud here? Bentonville, Arkansas. You hear that town, you don't think Silicon Valley, but you're wrong. You are wrong. Bentonville, Arkansas is actually right now, 2026, when we're filming this podcast, it's one of the nation's fastest growing towns in the nation. They are the home of the Waltons. And I'm not talking about the old show that you might have watched. They are the home of the Walton family, which owned and started a Fortune 1 company. You know what company they would have started? Walmart.
Yes.
Sam Walton. Bentonville, Arkansas is the home of the Walton family, which they live and thrive in today. Why am I talking about Bentonville, Arkansas being the fastest growing town? And how does that have anything to do with agent burnout? Well, the reason that it's the fastest growing town in the nation is because Walmart, too, faced a huge amount of turnover, right? Retention and turnover. So they have made the decision years ago, and they've really been pushing it these past few years, to turn that town into a town that attracts and retains top talent all over the world, all over the world. And I would encourage everybody, because they met and had the same challenge. People are getting burnt out, and they wanted to not just train people and they go share their intelligence somewhere else. They wanted to create a space where people wanted to grow and thrive within their organization. I challenge you to go watch some new documentaries about that town. They have put in the, I guess, one of America's largest art galleries of American art. They also have put in they said it's going to be the new Silicon Valley of Arkansas or just the United States. But they put in bike trails, not just any bike trails, sought after bike trails. They're really gearing to agent or frontline people in the workforce that love the outdoor life. So there's even a building that they've created that has a bike trail that goes all the way up to the offices where people can ride their bicycles and get off. Some of these bike trails that they ride to their apartment complexes, they look like a roller coaster. So I say all that to say, eTech may not be creating bike trails, but we do some things really well to attract and retain top talent. And who knows, we may create bike trails, but it's not just us. So if you're sitting over here in the mud with us right now and you're from any other company, maybe Walmart, maybe someone from the Walton family is in our podcast. It could be. If you are, and you know who you are, I love your dog's name, Saturday, but we won't talk about that right now. But we face those same challenges with retaining talent because they get burned out and they quit. And we don't want to lose some of the most incredible people that we've worked so hard to keep because they're burned out. So I'm hoping you guys can help us today in that area of burnout. And I know this is a topic that we will be, people will be watching for years to come. So my first question, and I'll just create it this way. I'll start with Dr. Chimney on this question and I may switch it up. But when you observe burnout emerging from your team, I know that you're the chief human resources officer at ETAC and you've seen burnout at all levels. When you see that emerging from your team, whether it's a new hire or people that have been experienced for years and years like yourself, what are some early warning signs that you've learned to recognize? And what is Dr. Chimney's immediate response?
Yeah, the moment I think, and this would be good for any leader, regardless of the level or title, is don't ignore even the slightest change. When attitude is a little bit different, people become a little snappier. When you see an increase of PTO, when you see a change in performance, you know, person A may be on point with submitting documentation in a timely manner, but then all of a sudden they're not. When you see just a little slight, it doesn't have to be huge, but even a slight emotional change, those are some signs that I would encourage every leader to not ignore. And actually speak to it, because sometimes, I love the word PTO because I call it please take off.
I love that.
I like to share with my team, please take off, because when you leave, you can be refreshed and then you come back new. We need to take a mental break, a physical break, just to step away so that we can get better. But I would encourage all leaders to answer your question, to not ignore it. I think in years past history, people ignore it because we're so focused on getting the job done. We have something to meet. We have numbers to fulfill, but those things will be harmed if we don't address and acknowledge and recognize. And sometimes people don't want you to say anything, but they need to hear from you. And so don't ignore it, and speak to that employee about it. And remember, PTO, please take off, is important. Give the members of your team an opportunity to step away and just breathe. If I went into another segment briefly, I would also say if you have EAP, sometimes, you know, you can even, give someone a recommendation to utilize EAP just to talk, because sometimes it has nothing to do with work. There's some issues that people are dealing with outside of the building, you know, outside of the office. And so utilizing any type of system that can support the members of your team, I believe, is critical regardless of the level.
I think that's, see, that's why you need a human resources take. I think it's like a third party, but not a third party take on what to look for. I love the tips of the small signs. I think you are on point there. And I love the action that you've given us of don't ignore it. Please take off. You said that years ago and I was like, oh my gosh, that was so powerful. It puts a whole different take on, the paid time off, strategy. Some people try to create a game. Like, I haven't taken time off in 45 years and their hair's all a mess. They're losing the game.
Yeah.
All right. Nancy, you have anything to add, to what Dr. Tim is saying?
To add to that, I think there's other signs too that we can notice. It's really a change in the patterns is what I think about. You know, someone that had pretty good attendance and now they're calling in a lot more, being late from breaks. Again, small things that may by themselves not indicate something, but taken together, you know, someone who's talkative, chatty normally. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, because they're burned out, they're just quiet. It's kind of like they've given up. They're not being bad in some way. They're not calling attention to themselves, but that's different than, you know, and so it's the pattern, the change. I think about at ETAC, for example, because we have so many volunteer opportunities, there are a lot of times a lot of the same people like to volunteer and participate. And so if somebody backs off of that, you know, again, a change, it's something they're trying to distance themselves from the company. To me, that's an indication. And to add to Dr. Veronica saying, you know, you would speak to the people, bring it to their attention. A little practical way to do that could be just simply, I've noticed, fill in the blank. I've noticed lately you've been quieter. Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to talk about? Or how can we work together? Is something going on? So you're just opening the door. And I think that's important to have that skill to know how to approach it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are beautiful things.
Dean Melissa, what I was thinking about too? Thank you, Nancy. Sometimes, and I think we've all heard the phrase, we hear employees make a statement and we just skate right over those statements. And some of those statements are, I'm tired, or I just need a breather, or I don't know if I can do this anymore, or I have a headache. This is the third day and those are brief moments of words that can be spoken that we as leaders need to listen to, because they may be small and they may be brief, but they're potent and we don't need to ignore it.
Yeah. It's the pay attention. Like, I want my doctor paying attention, right? To me, like what I'm saying. And we are like that as leaders. So I guess that's the number one thing I'm hearing you ladies say is pay attention to patterns, pay attention to things that we just kind of, you know, say as a statement, just paying attention to those things. One thing that I've done in the past is I have had those that are on my team list all the things they're responsible for. Okay. We just brain dump in a one-on-one. They just list everything they're responsible for. And then I give them a scale, like on a scale 1 to 3. 1 gives you, it takes energy away from you. 3, it gives you so much energy. You love doing it. Not that we're going to, I just want to, like, we go and list out what gives you energy and what takes energy, right? So at least we kind of can bring in, I like an action plan. So that kind of gives you an idea of everything they're doing. And if they have a whole lot of one is taking energy away from them, then it's a conversation we can talk about delegation or job fit or things like that. Or if there's a lot of things that give them energy, but these number ones are just draining them so bad and they're taking most of their time, it just creates a good conversation forward on that.
Great. I agree.
I like the blood work to that a little bit. Okay. So we all three know, and everyone that's listening, when you have poor training, that can contribute to significant burnout. When you feel like you don't know how to do your job, right? You want to do a good job, but you don't know how to do your job. How do you design onboarding and ongoing training programs that actually equip agents to succeed rather than checking compliance?
We both can answer that, but it's funny because I'm going to come from an operations standpoint as well as HR, and also being an agent in Cincinnati. So role play has been critical, because a lot of times when individuals are onboarding an organization, they're nervous already because they want to perform well. And so you need to give them real life scenarios so they can really see and understand what's to be expected. So I think role playing, true scenarios to help them understand and gauge the expectation from not only the organization, but also the dialogue exchange with the customer. That would be, when you're talking about training and onboarding, those two things are critical so that people can feel that feels natural. But that's one. I won't talk too much. Nancy may have some ideas as well.
Well, so what comes to my mind, a couple of things. I think it's important for training and ops to align, to have intentional calibrations, because it's the frontline leaders that hear from the agents, that see day to day, what are the agents who come out of training? What are they prepared for? And are there gaps? And so having that trusting relationship where feedback can be provided both ways and it's accepted. And then, we design, redesign, you know, fill in the gaps. So that communication loop is very important. I also think that the reason people may say poor training is the cause of burnout, is because the person, for example, leaving training, if they feel unprepared, if you feel unprepared, you don't feel confident, then your stress level goes up. And so I know here, you know, our trainers, our designers have a lot of intentional efforts around learning styles. We build training around how people actually learn, change it up. Everything's not the same. It's not one size fits all. And so that's very intentional with our training department. And then they're going back and seeing what's working, what's not working after agents have hit the floor. Of course, there's gamification, there's competitions, you know, to be more motivational to people as well from a burnout standpoint. I really feel like if somebody can say, I feel prepared, I feel confident in any role, not just agent roles, I've got this, then their burnout is going to be a lot less because the stress is less.
That's why I did that assessment evaluations to obtain feedback is critical. Because sometimes we don't even know, even the transition from training, as an example, into production, there's something that could be missed, and leaders may not even see or realize that employees are experiencing some type of burnout because they're overwhelmed with the feel of lack of training. But that's where employee satisfaction and culture surveys, focus groups are important, because it gives the employee an opportunity or a platform to share their concerns. And some of those concerns may not be pretty, but that's important for an employer to see, to make adjustments. I love the phrase, get the height of flexibility. And to me, what that means is you take the feedback and make changes so that we can enhance and become better, so that, you know, employees aren't experiencing that burnout from a training standpoint.
So this is what makes this podcast a little different than because you have seen it and you've walked through it. And I have an example of actually where I did this 2 weeks ago. So I went to one of our centers, and I won't say what, but what Nancy was saying with the communication between ops and training, there I recognized a gap, right? And so we started to see a higher turnover on a particular campaign that we have because there was a gap in that training. So what we did, this is, I know you're thinking it's simple, but it makes a huge impact. I sat with the ops team. We created 5 things that any agent out of training must know before they come, even in incubation or on the floor. The ops team put that together. Then we held a meeting with training, and ops and training went over those 5 things. They looked at the curriculum. They said, how much of your curriculum time are you spending on these top 5 things? An agent can be successful. They need to know 25 things. But for their first 90 days, when we typically quit, like what Nancy said, because they feel uncomfortable, right? They're not being successful. So they bridged the gap in communication with those top 5 things. The trainer even like took a deep breath and said, I have so many things to teach. It's so important for me to know like where my energy definitely needs to be on those top 5 things. And then they went through their training, and I just got a message this week that those agents, no, we have not lost one agent, and they are actually performing on those key areas. The trainers feel better. The ops team feels better. And that's a story of communication.
Music to my ears.
That's what you call, we got in the mud, we have our boots muddy, and we got it. We definitely got it done. Also to the role of role playing, you know, role playing is not anywhere near what it used to be back in the day. We used to have to give Nancy a scenario. Dr. Veronica played one position. There are so many tools out there, and I'm not going to put plugs out there for any company, but ETEC uses some of these companies that offer simulations. So you don't have to have, you can go simulate with a technology, so you don't have to feel uncomfortable messing up in front of all your peers like maybe we did back in the day. You know, you'd make a mistake in front of everybody and then you just wouldn't show back to class. So now you can have a safe environment where you can do role plays, and you can do that with a simulator, and you can keep practicing until you get better at it. I love the technology there. Okay. Now AI, we just talked about AI yesterday, right? It's a huge thing, and it's changing all types of work that you're doing, I'm doing, and our frontline agents are doing. It helps reduce burnout, or is it making it worse? This is a controversial question. So what do you think?
You know, when you're on the, when something is new, it can cause a little distress because it's new and you're trying to maneuver around, you know, the change. But I believe it's quite helpful, because I'm thinking about an agent position like 25, 30 years ago, when you're interacting with the customer, you know, you had a hard copy. For those, this is very dated for those that are listening, there was a hard copy script, and we followed the script and we communicated with our customer. But today there are so many tools that are in place that helps our agents, if you're in the BPO industry, sound very polished, very succinct, brief, and answering those questions quite quickly because of predicting models that are in place. AI has taken, you know, just the way we communicate with our customers on another level, completely different level, and is actually stepped up the game. And the return is better performance, happier customers, satisfied clients. And then we're meeting those metrics when all those things fall into place. And so I am a proponent. I think that technology is taking us to another level. The hiccup is getting, you know, over that hip. I mean, that, you know, that area of being uncomfortable and fearful. Take advantage of it because it'll definitely take you to the next playing field.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's given agents so many more resources, and faster. It's reduced so a lot of the work administratively that they might have been doing is reduced. So it's wonderful. However, though, we need to think about agents maybe dealing with a little bit higher percentage of difficult customers because now they're dealing primarily with the things that couldn't be answered and with initial quick responses. So it's helping. It could be adding a higher level of stress just because they're dealing with more difficult situations. They need to be better prepared, you know, the human element to deal with. It needs that human expertise. So it really, I think it depends on the program. It depends on, like you said, so many resources and tools out there. So it can have a lot of great positive effects.
Okay.
Listen, there are even some systems that are out there too that, and I don't know the name of it. You may have spoken to the name of what is the system when you can predict the outcome of how a customer will respond or what they may ask based on their pattern and history of
communication. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think those things that are in place today have not always been in place. And I think that's huge too.
Yeah. I think both of you are definitely correct. I went to a conference about AI few weeks ago, and the companies that were there, so everyone listening, the companies were there were trying to figure out exactly what Nancy said. We need AI to do the easy task so that our human capital can do the more difficult task. And that's great when you're talking about saving money and maybe giving someone a job that's more meaningful. Does that make sense? But when you do that, that creates a level of stress. Does that make sense? I'm not just keying in what a customer said anymore. I'm solving the problem after it's come to me. So we need to be prepared for that. And our leaders need to recognize that this is a new world, especially and people are having to do different things now, right? It's not just the basic task. That's all should be. And it's transforming into taking over by technology. All right. As we're wrapping up, what is something you want to say that's burning in your mind, a tip that you've got everybody sitting in the mud with us, with their muddy boots on, about burnout?
Nancy?
You know, so I think that a lot of people equate burnout and lack of work-life balance. I mean, that's one thing that may come up in the conversation together. When I think about work-life balance, I like to think about belonging, the word, the concept of belonging, because I think that's tied to work-life balance. When I've interviewed people who are leaving another company or have already left another company because they say, I didn't have enough of work-life balance, or I'm looking for better work-life balance. I think in a lot of cases, they're not necessarily looking for a better schedule, but they're looking for a better culture. They're looking for a place they feel it. And so my guidance would be that when people feel they're at a workplace where they belong, where they feel respected, where they feel like it's the culture fits, then there's more harmony in their life, both their work. It's not like work is, yucky, and I can't wait to leave and to get home or be in the rest of my life that's good and positive, but it's all somewhat positive. And so there's less stress overall. There's less the feeling of burnout. There's more of that confidence that I have a team. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where that's where all of us can make an impact. And it can improve retention, reduce burnout, you know, if we look at that.
Well said, Nancy. I like to hear from the people. So in 2022, I performed a study, and it was with a small sample of people. And one of my takeaways was from the people, and I want to share this. And it's on page 177, if anyone ever want to look at it. And it's on, it's around a dissertation, but there is something that was really important, and it's around what people feel and what's important for employers or leaders to recognize. And so I'm actually going to read it here. It says, employers, be sure to reevaluate wage, bonus, and gifts. That's a top priority. Employers, look at your schedules. Be sure that you're being very flexible at the height of flexibility. Look at growth opportunities. Be sure that your employees can see that there are opportunities for them to excel, grow, and advance within your company. Look at how you can appreciate and recognize. Not everyone wants a pizza party. And so look at the variety of ways that you can show the employees that you appreciate them. Be disciplined in your leadership. Have fun. A lot of people like to come to work, and it is all about business, and we have things to do, but you can enjoy. We spend so much time together. You can enjoy what you're doing, and then stay on top of technology. So move with technology and embrace the learning and take advantage of your leadership development department if you have one. And so I share that with you because when those things are removed, you can hear the concerns of employees saying, I wish we had this. And oftentimes those items that I just mentioned are missed in an organization. And so they're critical. We need to be sure to incorporate them in the structure and the platform of the organization.
That is what you call muddy boots knowledge right there. I appreciate it so much. I know everyone else, they'll be hitting read the rewind button on this so they can hear your great insights. Thank you so much for your time. Until next time, we'll see you on the next episode of Muddy Boots.
Thank you.
Thank you.